Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 383. This is Kevin DeFrango. Somehow I still have a voice. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, you know, this whole under the weather thing is really annoying. Just when I thought I had it gone, it reared its ugly head again. And, I'm feeling okay, but I am also more than ready to wrap this show up and go straight to bed.
All right, well, let's not waste any time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, actually, speaking of time, it was kind of funny. It's one of those things that I know that we've kind of talked about it a little bit, but just the amount of hours of programming that WWE has these days is completely insane. Like, it would be a full-time job just watching and reviewing this stuff if you watched all of it. If it was just the new content. Because, you know, I mean, it was another week where, I mean, they're really settling into the other, every other Sunday as a pay-per-view. Because I think that the wife's like, oh, I didn't know there was a pay-per-view this weekend. I was like, yep, there's another pay-per-view this weekend.
But thankfully, there's a long break coming.
Oh, okay, is the next one Rumble? Oh, no, it's Roadblock and then Rumble.
Then Rumble, which is until the end of January, so there's, I think there's like 6 weeks without a pay-per-view. That'll be amazing.
Oh wow, that'll be kind of nice too. Honestly, I could handle a Sunday off every now and again. Although obviously I was a little too lazy to actually do a review. And you know, it's kind of funny. It's one of those things where I'm watching ROH as we record here, and I definitely did not watch their pay-per-view on Friday, because still, seriously, who the fuck airs a pay-per-view on a Friday? Other than a company looking to not make money. But it was one of those things where James Ellsworth, I kind of thought about him being like Cheeseburger in ROH, but Cheeseburger doesn't provide any of the charm that that James Ellsworth provides, or even just straight storyline fodder that James Ellsworth has been involved in.
Like, WWE is absolutely getting everything they can out of James Ellsworth. He's probably he might be the lowest paid guy in the company, but they're putting him in main event storylines. So there's no way they're not getting their investment back. I mean, it's working. I mean, tonight was, well, due to the unfortunate circumstances surrounding an ankle injury to AJ Styles, tonight wasn't what it was supposed to be. And but, I mean, obviously they're still going to do that match down the line. Maybe in 2 weeks in Detroit, where I may very well be in attendance. And amazingly, if they actually were to announce in advance that James Ellsworth is going for the championship in my town, that might be the final kick out the door.
That's the hook.
James Ellsworth is a draw.
Yeah, well, as you kind of mentioned, I think that he's got a limited time frame for being a draw here.
And they don't have much. I mean, they'll probably get they'll get a Rumble spot out of him, and you know, I don't even know if he'll even make the WrestleMania card in any meaningful way.
Oh well, you always need 30 people in the Battle Royal. So
right, yeah.
He's a warm body that can be tossed into there.
Yeah.
So it would make sense to get him through the Rumble, and then there's just really, I mean, there's limited opportunities right now, and it's only going to get more limited as things move along. But honestly, considering that they had to go to Plan B, it was a pretty solid Plan B that they had on SmackDown tonight, which was costing Dean Ambrose another match and another championship.
I mean, even with the distraction, the Miz pinning Dean Ambrose with his finish, I can definitely say that I did not expect that.
Yeah, I've got to admit that is one of the cleaner victories the Miz has had. Well, honestly, like I think Dolph Ziggler has been more protected in his losses to the Miz than Dean Ambrose was, really.
That was a that was a surprising loss for Dean Ambrose. I know it's part of the greater story with James Ellsworth, but I just said the greater story with James Ellsworth was just Dean Ambrose just beating the crap out of him. I mean, there's a
Yeah, I mean the two biggest spots for Ellsworth has been almost dying on SmackDown at AJ Styles' hands last week, and then honestly, like one of those pitch perfect moments of Dean Ambrose just coming down at the top of the show, kicking Ellsworth in the gut, and giving him what? Why am I blanking on what his DDT is named?
The dirty deeds.
Oh, dirty deeds. And walking right back out and not even dealing with AJ Styles at all. I mean, I thought that that was quite an amusing moment to have.
And I really just want James Ellsworth's character to stay delusional. I don't want it to be. It turns out he's been a diabolical mastermind this whole time. No, that's not interesting to me. This goofball, just completely out of his mind, believing everything he says. That's what I want.
Yeah, that was one of those ones that I'm like, I guess I have a hard time wrapping my head around that kind of lunacy, 'cause I mean, it's like me claiming that I'm a greater architect than pretty much insert any famous architect's name in trying to be serious about it. But for some reason, this line of logic holds up in wrestling and does quite an effective job of telling a story. So yeah, he better not be a mastermind at the end of this thing. Like he just better be a dumb goof who looks like a turtle. A shell-less turtle. Is that yeah, that's what he keeps on saying. JBL. So yeah, I mean it's fun what they're doing with him. And yeah. I mean I'm not sure that there's much more to say, at least on his front. I mean, it would seem pretty obvious that Dean Ambrose at some point is going to move along from AJ Styles. I don't know if, that loss is the end of things or if they get a Royal Rumble match out of this situation.
Yeah, I don't, not exactly sure where it's all going. I don't really see a clear path for Dean Ambrose to WrestleMania. Although, I mean, I guess one thing I can speculate on is, 2 weeks ago on SmackDown, Dean Ambrose annoys Shane McMahon to the point where he has to leave the building. Shane McMahon is the one who gave James Ellsworth the title match that was supposed to be tonight. And you're probably wondering if Shane could be going heel, because the belief was months ago that Shane was getting Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, and since that's not happening. I'm fairly certain a Shane McMahon match at WrestleMania is unavoidable. So why not just put him with the guy in the roster who's just not afraid to just do crazy shit.
And
every shit match.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It would make for a good match, but we certainly have a long time between then and now. Although it's always kind of interesting, yeah. The wheels tend to start turning this time of the year.
Right.
So it's definitely a possibility. I guess some other fallout. From the pay-per-view, I'll admit to being quite a bit surprised that Alexa Bliss ended up winning the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, but not horribly shocked or even disappointed. I think Alexa Bliss has done a really great job and. Definitely, there's potential for her in this role. I don't know if, this is the end of, one rematch and it's going to be the end of Becky Lynch in the role of the top SmackDown woman. But, I have pretty good, I think that, oh, trying to think, well, I think that Alexa has, she's got a great personality. She's improving in the ring pretty much on a weekly basis. The tables match, not the best match. I mean, this day and age, building a match around one table spot is just absolutely silly. And for a one-on-one, and doing one-on-one tables matches. Doing tag team ones where, you're going to get, it's elimination-ish, you get three table bumps out of it, okay, but building to one for 15 minutes, that just didn't work.
And it never, they seem to have a hard job getting a good payoff for it. Alexa did powerbomb Becky into it, but, Becky kind of did some of the work to put herself in a precarious spot, really.
Right, yeah. And when you're doing a tables match with two people who weigh under 130 pounds essentially, you've always got to worry that whether this thing's even going to break or not. So it wasn't a match that was conducive to their best. It was definitely an inferior match to the regular match they had on SmackDown last month.
I do agree with you on the greater point that just the tables match in general is just a hard match to book, a singles match. Like you said, like with a tag team match, you can always have a partner save a table spot from happening and things of that nature. You can't really do anything like that. In a singles match. So yeah, they just in general, not just Bliss and Lynch. I just think that those matches always come off a little bit weak, and I get trying to limit the usage of different objects so that there isn't any fatigue from that certain object being used during a 3-hour long pay-per-view. But it seems to hurt this match more than any of the others. Like, even because they're Kalisto and Baron Corbin did a fairly decent job incorporating chairs into the match.
Yeah, they did. I thought that match was probably better with the chairs than, well, obviously they had another match tonight. So the chairs added something to their regular match. I mean, the concept of a match where chairs are the only thing, legal to be used. It's kind of silly, but just, yeah. So yeah, I mean, that match was fine.
Yeah, I guess I was just using it for a comparison because I could really give a crap less about that feud, honestly. And like
Anything involving preparing Corbin is just is a ticket of boredom for me.
Yeah, I got a good hoot out of JBL this week saying that Kalisto was ruining things for Baron Corbin. I'm like, that guy has gone nowhere fast. Kalisto ain't ruining shit for nobody.
But I feel from here on out that they're gonna at least until they give up on him. Yeah, they're gonna force it.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, now granted, there's not much to force since the top two titles are also on heels. So actually all four. Well, not obviously the women's championship and stuff to Baron Corbin, but all four championships are on heels. So I mean, there is nowhere for Baron Corbin to go except in the Royal Rumble and tossed out in what's looking to be a pretty massive field.
Yeah, we all know that he is not winning the Royal Rumble.
God, if that happened.
maybe at some later date, but definitely not not this this coming year. That would be a shock of maybe all shocks. But I'm trying to think of. Oh well, I mean, we're definitely going to get another match out of Alexa and Lynch, at least. But I think SmackDown's superior depth will allow Becky to stay on TV without suffering too much. I mean, there are plenty of people that can hang around without the title and still be a draw. And
Becky will be fine. I have no fear. SmackDown has shown the ability to, balance, juggle two women's feuds at the same time.
Because they also had. I guess it's kind of interesting that Natalia is going to end up. I mean, it's almost weird that Natalia is trying to act babyface after being heelish leading into Survivor Series.
I don't like this storyline at all. It's I don't know how many people really care. They didn't really follow it up. Well, granted, there's only 2 weeks. Survivor Series and CLC, so I shouldn't say that, but I don't really care at all who took out Nikki Bella. It'll probably turn out that it was someone else entirely. The whole storyline, it does nothing for me.
Carmella needed to move on, I guess. They had done a pretty decent job of introducing her character. And it was a pretty decisive win on Nikki Bella's part at, she had the match, I'm not even sure what style match they had at TLC there.
No disqualification.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it was still a pretty decisive win for Nikki, and, when the babyface wins that much, you gotta move things along, and that's one way to do it. You know, when you leave those attacks pretty vague, it leaves you some wiggle room to move on to the next thing without really making a whole lot of sense. Becky will be okay. She's, got what's Carmella available, if nothing else, for a feud. Again, kind of showcasing things like that. I knew that on Raw on Monday there wasn't a snowball's chance in HE double hockey sticks that Alicia Fox was going to pull off a win against Bayley.
I I was absolutely terrified that that's exactly what was going to happen.
Oh, man. Why were you terrified that that was going to happen?
Because I like Billy and I don't like Alicia Fox.
Oh.
And I know sometimes how they can be weird about, well, you know, they some, you know, these characters that they have to face adversity, they can't just win every match, they have to lose some. Well, it's but it's losing the wrong run to the wrong person, that's the problem.
Yeah, losing the wrong way to the wrong person hurts even more.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, I was a little worried, but yeah, no. They did the right finish there. Although I was also worried that there was going to be a post match beatdown, so the lead to them having another match. Like, please don't. And no, they were fine. It was just an opportunity to sell Bayley Bears this holiday season, which is fine.
Yeah, I did get a kick out of the level of salesmanship that was wrapped up into that. Into that segment. So, moving back, I'm trying to think of the other TLC matches that are worth covering. I mean, I don't think it was, to me, it wasn't much of a surprise that Dolph Ziggler ends up going down in flames to The Miz, who we've already brought up before. I mean, there just isn't much for him to do with the IC title.
No, I mean, Ziggler either needs to turn heel or he's done. I mean, there's just nothing more for him. I mean, they boxed themselves into a corner with a stipulation where he had to win one match, and they got that over big, but...
Yeah, then you had nowhere to go.
They're still down the Dolph Ziggler business, so you know, they gave him that one moment. It was back to Jobberville.
Yep. And he can't even go back to... Hopefully he doesn't go back to Jobberville against Baron Corbin, because we don't really need to see that again either.
No, jeez. Oh, God. Oh, no.
And I'm trying to think of the other matches from TLC that had some repercussions on SmackDown this week. But there really wasn't too much, honestly.
Well, not on the Tag Team Championship.
Oh. Yeah, that was one... I guess I'm kind of interested to see how that storyline plays out. They're definitely not showing any dissension at the current moment between between Orton and Wyatt, at least. There
Orton and Harper, yeah. But even then, Harper's sacrificed himself to save Randy Orton, so he's trying to play it to be a team player and be part of the family.
I mean, it's kind of an interesting dynamic. I guess I figured that the WWE would pull the trigger on Randy Orton getting out of the family quicker than they have already, to be honest with you.
I don't know. He's pretty deep in now.
Yeah, and that honestly makes things far more interesting to me.
They're building to Luke Harper going face. For being used as a coat rack, essentially.
Yeah, that was one of the weirder things. I'm like, oh, when has it ever been that the guy that doesn't do any work in the match is the one carrying the belts? Like, in all of those, in all the three-person groups, you know, New Day, whoever's gonna wrestle in the match wears them.
Yeah,
I feel like the Freebirds were similar in that regard. I'm not really sure how many other three-person teams I can think of in between, because it wasn't like Arn and Tully were gonna dump off the tag team titles on Ric Flair in the Four Horsemen. Right. That would have been really awkward.
Well, Bray Wyatt's also, he's got a lantern to carry. Come on now.
Oh, yes, he does have a lantern to cover. God forbid he wear the title. In some ways, that team has made the tag team division more and less interesting all at the same time. I mean, you can tell that they're trying to tell some type of a story that's going to take a little bit longer to get through, but what that story is, to me, it doesn't really have a picture right now.
I mean, they're the super team that only another super team, like, you know, maybe Undertaker and Kane can beat. Or you use this to build up American Alpha.
Well, and that's what I was kind of wondering about, but I was like, does American Alpha need the third to go up against them, or is Luke Harper out of the picture by the time American Alpha actually takes out Orton and Wyatt?
But I mean, if they wanted to, that could be your opening to bring back Kurt Angle.
I keep on, that's one of those ones that I'm like, oh man, let that happen. It just seems too perfect. Like, even again, like, if he's one of those guys that just wrestles a match here and there, but is just their coach or something, even if he does filmed Rocky type vignettes with them, like, I'd be all over that.
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely would too. That's why I brought it up.
I mean, that would certainly make them more of a. They're definitely good enough in the ring, and I think on the mic to go up against them. But they need some additional star power, because. You know, Randy Orton has brought something different to the Wyatt family that they always seem to lack for whatever reason. Like, the WWE never seemed to really let them have the ball and run with it.
Yeah, I think that, well, Randy Orton brings his star power as someone who's equal or, you know, in the WWE canon, you know, greater than Bray. I mean, Randy Orton has really, once again, in his quiet way, Randy Orton is one of the best wrestlers in the business. Not the flashiest guy in the world, but, you know, not the most spectacular, you know, moves in the world, but, you know, just,
yeah,
you know, the smoothest, most solid, dependable guy you could probably ask for.
Yeah, I mean, he is one of the less, he's one of those guys that, and I think I harp on it a lot, that he doesn't seem terribly athletic compared to a lot of the roster at this point. But the guy does a good job telling a story, and he wrestles the WWE style, and it always, always, always helps. That guy has a finisher that... they have really latched onto is being an out of nowhere phenomenon, which helps out quite a bit to keep your name relevant.
Oh yeah. The RKO is a huge part of Randy Orton and why he's, you know, been where he's been and stayed where he's at for a long time now. I mean, yeah, it's a great finish for him. He always figures out, finds great ways to utilize it. Yeah, I'm beginning to Randy Orton. I think that, you know, wherever they're going with this, I think that they I think that they made the right decision to make this detour.
Yeah, and I mean, him and Bray Wyatt kind of teaming up for the finisher and combining their own finishers is certainly something that also is pretty intriguing, because you talked about them being equals. That moment there really does a lot of talking, at least in the ring, that that Wyatt allowed that to happen in his family.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's that'll be an interesting one, because, I mean, outside of American Alpha, it was kind of funny on SmackDown that they were... that they had the Hype Bros wanting to go after the tag team titles, which just cracked me up to no end. But it is one of those things that if you want them, you need a team like that to have a couple of title defenses, even if they're kind of easy. You don't really want them to go straight up against American Alpha, and there aren't, you know, there are only so many babyface teams that they can fight against.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I guess you can use the Hype Bros to just get Orton and Wyatt a win. I guess that's fine in a relative sense, and not fine in any real sense, because it involves Mojo Rawley being in a championship.
Oh man. Well, I'm gonna do my best to stay hyped for the rest of the the rest of this show. Well, I
do that.
And I'm trying to think, I guess I don't think there's too much else on the SmackDown front, unless I'm forgetting something, which I've already tried to do.
No, not really, no. I think we can move on to Raw now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I didn't really look at the Twitter for too long today, but I did think that... You know, normally, more times than not, when a segment is on too many times during an episode of Raw, I get really tired of it. And that, to me, was the Enzo and Big Cass versus Rusev and Lana situation. And even though I could kind of, even though I saw what was going to happen coming about a mile away, Lana has done a good job the past several weeks of at least feigning some type of interest, with Enzo to make, make the angle more believable this week.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I liked how everyone played their parts. I liked how, There were moments that didn't make Enzo and Cass look absolutely stupid. You know, Cass figured that out when he was in the ring, and not too soon, you know, after he hit the ring. And Enzo was hesitant the whole time, like, you know, so they played it pretty well. It was an entertaining series of skits. A good hotel room brawl, or not really brawl, beat down in this sense, you know, that's good every once in a while. You know, take the cameras out of the arena. You know, it's kind of Attitude Era ish, you know, but in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, all of the talk in this feud, if you even want to call it, because really Rusev's just whooped on Enzo for three straight weeks now.
Obviously the real is Rusev versus Big Cass. I mean, we're already transitioning to Big Cass in the ring most of the time, and Enzo is outside as the hype man. I don't even know if they're gonna get, you know, Enzo and Cass are even gonna get a tag team title run at this point. They seem pretty gung ho on Cass as a single already.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that Enzo could end up being a manager for lack of a better word, honestly.
Well, he's a talker. He is. I mean, the dude's best moves are when his partner picks him up and just throws him at people. I mean, in the ring, he really doesn't have that much. I mean, I gotta say.
Well, they don't allow him to have that much, and you know, he's one of those guys, I guess, he doesn't seem like he'd fit in with the 205 Live crew. Even though he'd fit it, from a weight description. But, you know, that would be, a better route for him, because, yeah, I guess I don't get any sense from them, like, just the matches that they've had, even on NXT, to me, were all fairly short. Like, I don't know how you rate a wrestler whose, like, longest match was maybe 8 minutes. And he's part of a tag team.
Right. Well, I find a lot of what things Enzo does pretty, you know, pretty awkward looking. I honestly don't see a great little man worker there. And to be a little man in wrestling, you have to be a great worker.
Yeah.
Or James Ellsworth. Enzo might be closer to James Ellsworth, honestly.
Yeah, except he is still a much better talker than Ellsworth. Ellsworth is.
That, of course, he is. So, you know. But yeah, this is what they're going to be doing. They are going to use Enzo to be bullied so that Cass can make the save. That is their lot in life.
Yep. And, hey, you know, I'm sure there are worse things than being a manager / hype man in Enzo's world.
No, probably not. Being cut. if he didn't have the gift of gab, he'd be nowhere. But you know, he's got that. He's got a lot going for him in that regard. So,
yes,
I don't see them getting rid of him anytime.
Agreed. So yeah, I mean, that is one of the few times that a 4-segment skit really didn't turn me off by the time the hotel room scene played out. Normally at that point I'm just like, oh my fucking god, is this person on again? So the fact that I guess maybe that goes back to what Jeremy was talking about. Maybe Raw is actually not completely terrible at the current moment and has started to move along. When they can flesh out a 4-segment thing, God bless them.
Raw's been pretty good the last few weeks, and this week I thought it was better than SmackDown. Granted, we already moved on, but I'll say I thought, granted, maybe it was after 3 days of wrestling, but I thought SmackDown was a plotting show. The advertised main event not happening, obviously hurt a lot, but yeah, the body of the show wasn't very good. I thought, you know, most of what they did on Raw was good.
Yeah, I guess in general I would have to agree with you. It really wasn't SmackDown wasn't anything all that special this week. Because even the follow-up stuff with Becky and Alexa wasn't particularly good, and they didn't seem to put that much thought into it.
No. They really didn't put a lot of thought into it at all. I mean, so that Raw, once again, they had three main storylines. They weaved through the whole show, and they weaved them through very well.
Yeah, and I guess I'm trying to think of what that what those other two stories were.
Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho for one.
Oh.
So I guess we move on to that.
Duh. Yeah, I mean, they certainly are putting down more roots for an actual match between Owens and Jericho it's some future time rather than just I guess I thought this breakup between the two was going to play out like the other ones had. And it certainly
Right, yeah.
hasn't at this point.
No. This feels like for real. This feels like, a build up to an actual Kevin Owens Chris Jericho match. I mean, it's interesting because it seems to relegate Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns to bit players in their own story, but I don't no. I mean, I don't think Owens and Jericho, doing this with Owens and Jericho and because from the very beginning, it was always played that Chris Jericho, liked Kevin Owens more than Kevin Owens liked Chris Jericho. There have been subtle things
Oh.
dating back to, to their first teaming up in SummerSlam.
Agreed. Yeah, so it's really not much of a surprise that maybe Jericho has started to not figure it out because honestly, since SummerSlam, pretty much everyone's pointed out that Kevin Owens
Yeah, I
is using him. But at some point, maybe it doesn't further your own means. So you get tired of it and move along.
Right, yeah. I mean, they definitely, again, I mean, Owens trying to suck up to Jericho so that he doesn't, leave him out to dry at Roebuck against Roman Reigns. But, Jericho not falling for it. Yeah, that all was pretty good.
Yeah. And it was a passing comment that I mentioned the God forbid you wear a belt. It does kind of crack me up how Roman Reigns has come up with a new way to have a championship title on him, which is just slinging it over his shoulder and not showing the belt at all. Which
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Yeah!
I'm
Yeah!
surprised he's
Roman really
allowed. I'm surprised he's
Oh yeah!
allowed to get
He
away
really
with it,
cares
but
about
I
his belt.
like it.
Yeah, he's definitely he's already over that title. Roman Reigns wants the big one already.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that John Cena does a good job of building that up, and I mean they've still kept gobs of attention on it, but it goes back to that Raw not having much to work with. I mean, heck, it's probably half the reason that Seth Rollins is an awkward baby face at this point, or still continues to
Oh, he
be one,
is.
maybe.
Oh, yeah. So, Seth. Oh, my God. I mean, just botched from the start of his comeback. Should have been a babyface from the beginning. They turned him heel, but treated him with Roman Reigns, so he was cheered anyway. You know, this... once again, his whole story is based around him being mad that Triple H isn't cheating for him anymore.
And Triple H isn't around to answer any of these calls whatsoever. Which does not help at all either.
Right, that doesn't help at all. I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere that Rollins even bringing up Triple H and essentially challenging him. And of course, Seth has to, again, he has to bring up that he, you know, what he did to the Shields and remind people of, you know, that he ruined their fun. So they start booing every time he has to bring that up. And he whining at that Triple H to stop believing in him is this. But there is no doubt in my mind that when Triple H comes back in front of him, Triple H is going to just get a giant reaction, positive reaction for it.
It's just, I guess Triple H needs to be there to try and help get Rollins some cheers, but like you said, like, he brings up so many despicable things that he did, it's hard to get behind him. Like, usually when a heel goes babyface, you tend to forget about those things, or they don't get brought up until a heel wants to bring them up to kind of try and get back at them. And like you said, like, he is just admitting this stuff on his own. So it's not even like it's being brought up, someone's being a dick and they're bringing it up. It's just like, oh no, I'm going to mention this on my own so that you boo me. It's just like, oh man.
Yeah, I had high hopes for Seth as babyface, but those have all gone up in flames. I mean, it's pretty bad. He's got... And they're putting him against Jericho, who everyone loves. Yeah, it's just it's not good for Seth. Hopefully they can readjust course and into the new year and the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania.
I guess the other kind of big one on Raw there is Charlotte Flair continues Charlotte and Sasha Banks continue to get the main event treatment on Raw.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that was an interesting call. Although I guess they felt that last Monday's rating was strong and giving them the credit for it and seeing if they could do it again, keep that third hour from dropping. Interesting experiment. I mean, I thought Charlotte was absolutely great. I mean, unfortunate, you know, that you had a crowd stuck, you know, 15 years ago who couldn't stop wanting in between the pauses. But, you know, when she slapped her father, you know, and started berating him, the crowd was 100% against her and with the program.
I mean, she continues to be the best heel in the company. I guess it's between her and Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens doesn't get too many cheers these days either, on his own.
No. It's definitely got a lot less cheers, but yeah, I guess Charlotte can be, you know, usually universal heat, so, you know, that's really good. The beatdown on Sasha was good. I mean, you know, playing it that, you know, just that she set her up from the start, she was waiting for her, she literally let her get in the ring. I liked everything about it. I guess the big question is, you know, by the end of the match, is where Ric Flair's allegiance really will lie. You know, where are we going to see a swerve here? Or is the swerve so obvious that the real swerve is he doesn't help Charlotte win.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that he wouldn't, but, you know, you never say never in wrestling. I guess that's a good thing and a bad thing.
Right, yeah. I like what they've done. I think the going 30 minutes is a good idea. I think they could have a really great, you know, 30-minute match under those stipulations. I'm glad that they didn't decide to go 60 with it. Not that that was maybe too much consideration at all.
Yeah, it just... Well, I guess a 30-minute match to me just makes more sense just in general. It doesn't chew up as much time on a pay-per-view. It helps you give more time to other matches just in general. Even if you're doing one of these four... Well, no, that's going to be at Roadblock.
Yeah.
So, I was thinking if it was at the Rumble, you know, you might be able to get away with an hour. But then, A, it would partially be competing time-wise with the Rumble itself. And they usually don't have a match that important happening at the Royal Rumble itself. Unless it's, you know, something maybe involving Brock Lesnar, I guess. I mean, I know that's not the case this year, but, you know, some type of all-star match that, you know, the loser doesn't really need to be involved in the Rumble itself. So, yeah, I like 30 minutes a bit better than an hour. Like, I understand that an hour was kind of the standard that was set when they started to do this type of a match, but... 30 minutes seems more manageable to me.
Oh yeah, it is. I mean, they've already gone, you know, 50, you know, 20 or more already. You know, I mean, 30. I guess 30 is not that much more, but you know, you can create the drama necessary. I mean, you can get 4 to 6 footballs in that time period. You know.
Right.
I'm sure they'll work in the bit about, you know, blowing a 3-1 advantage, of course. Cause that's all the rage of sports this year.
Well, I'm always happy to mention that the Pittsburgh Penguins were up 3-1 and did not, I repeat, did not blow that lead. So, yeah, I mean, they can do something like that, or, I mean, they can go as little as 3 finishes, you know, 1 apiece, and then just, the third. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options. It, like you said, like, they've probably gone at least 20 minutes in some of these matches. As I've noted several times, I don't really keep a stopwatch with me, and I don't feel like pulling up how long their other matches have gone. But I think everyone knows that they can all do it. So it'll be fun to play out.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm hoping for them because they still haven't had that great match on paper. Their pay-per-view matches always seems like something happens or something just doesn't click right like the Raw matches have. So I'm pulling for them pretty thick.
Well, is there anything else from Raw that needs to be talked about before we mosey on out of here?
No, not particularly.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how still the tag team title reign is just still ending with a resounding thud. Because a three-team match, which is almost assuredly going to happen this coming week. It's, as usual, a surefire way to have the champions win, because the two opposing teams cost each other the match in some manner.
Right. I see the New Day retaining.
Huh?
I see the New Day retaining.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything's fine. Like, I guess I don't think it's terrible, but they were trying to build up this, you know, New Day's got to defend the titles until they reach their record. And the WWE went, oh, okay, let's have them wrestle Cesaro and Sheamus. Oh, let's have them wrestle Anderson and Gallows. Oh, crap, we're out of contenders.
Yeah.
So they're not going to defend the belts this week. Whoops.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess that was worth throwing in there. But, man, outside of that, I'm good with going with the wrap-up, which is I'm at DeFrango11. On the other end is at Chris Calamita. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Everyone, have a good night.
Later.